We've got Michael Stathakis saying nothing to see here on the Jordan Birch News.
The question is, do you recognize the movie that that's from?
Yes, but I'm blanking out on the name. Something Gun?
Wow, you got half of it. Naked Gun.
Naked Gun.
You know who the actor is right there?
Leslie something?
Leslie Nielsen. So you're getting halfway there.
There you go.
I'm impressed.
There you go. Jon Bon Jovi wrote a song about me. You see what I'm saying? See where I'm going with that?
Yeah, I don't like Jon Bon Jovi.
Mark Ryan, what you're doing is nothing but talk radio show hype that Jordan is not coming to USC. I didn't say he's not coming to USC. Steve Wiltfong said he's not coming to USC. Mark, you were talking about commitment. Commitment is all in. Jump in the deep end with both feet. Here to talk to us about this, and I'm curious if he has a different outlook than his colleague, Steve Wiltfong, a friend of the show, J.C. Sherbert, owner, operator of the Big Spur, part of the 24/7 Sports Network. J.C., Happy New Year to you. I don't know, J.C., if you're allowed to tell people Happy New Year this late in the month. It's been an ongoing debate between Lonzo and I, but seeing as how I have not spoken to you, sir, I take it upon myself to wish you a fantastic 2020.
Thank you very much. Hopefully this year and this decade will be very good and prosperous. I can't believe we're already in the 2020s, but time flies.
It most certainly does. Okay. So, JC, as far as you understand it, why has Jordan Birch not signed on the dotted line with all of your knowledge on the subject?
Well, I mean, you know, he could not, I mean, once the window passed in December, he could not sign until February. That's something a lot of people kind of, you know, miss a little bit on, is that it's the NCAA, when they redid the rules, they give you a window, and then once you got past that Saturday, you have to wait. And he did, so it's not like he could have gone and, you know, signed on New Year's Day or, you know, kids these days love to kind of hijack holidays in terms of recruiting announcements. So that was not an option. And so what was told and what was said was that, you know, they have at Hammond a big signing day on the second signing day ceremony with and he and Alex Huntley, who also did not sign, wanted to do it together at the school. And, you know, that would also include players like Jackson Muschamp, Will Muschamp's son, who's going to Colorado State, and you know, some other players that will go to some smaller schools. They have a lot of players at Hammond that will sign. And so that seems legit, you know, because the thing with Jordan Birch when he committed to South Carolina, it was a surprise to the LSU coaching staff and the Georgia coaching staff. But at South Carolina, they sort of thought they were getting him from 3 or 4 days before the Clemson game on. And there was a lot of confidence. Now, you know, you have to weigh everything from all sources when you're dealing with recruiting. And, you know, so we did. And certainly, you know, until the end, based on all the stuff we were hearing back and forth, you know, it was hard to come in and make a definitive prediction just because, you know, you don't want to look like an idiot. You know, sit there and always say somebody's coming to the team you cover when, you know, many times they don't. And so, you know, that's what people have to keep in mind with this. I mean, certainly, you know, it was, when you look at it from the macro level, yeah, he picked South Carolina over Clemson, Georgia, and LSU. I mean, that was a surprise for any elite prospect to do at this point, considering what's going on with the program. But, you know, recruiting at the end of the day is about relationships. It's about trust. It's about comfort level. All of those things, I think comfort levels facilitated by relationships and trust. And I think that, you know, that's what got Jordan Birch in the boat. So after he commits, and when he said he wasn't going to sign, I thought that this is going to be, it's going to get crazy again, because LSU, you know, thought they still had a shot, especially after they won the national championship. And then Georgia did the same thing with Marchon Lloyd, though. They were like, oh, he's going to slip. He's going to slip. That's just kind of, you know, their MO. So I was like, those two schools won't give up. And sure enough, you know, this past weekend, he drives, takes a visit down to LSU. And you have to say that they're in the game right now. I don't think it's time to panic if you're the Gamecocks, because He also took a lot of visits before he committed to South Carolina. I think they're going to get him on campus this weekend, unless things change at the last minute for an official. And I think that, you know, at the end of the day, they, you know, they still have a shot, a good shot, probably the leader in the clubhouse at getting him. As far as Steve Wilfong goes, you know, he's we call him the Oracle because he's usually right with things like this.
Yeah, where is this coming from, JC? There was a rumored visit to LSU. Did that happen?
Yes, that happened this past weekend.
Okay.
Confirmed.
Okay, so based on something he heard about that visit, Steve is flipping the script here.
No, Steve, I think Steve, before the visit, had that teed up because that's where he thought he was going beforehand. And I think, look, you know, if you're Steve, I think you probably have to trust your sources. And look, with this particular kid, there's, you know, on the day he committed, you could talk to three different people who should know beyond a shadow of a doubt, mm-hmm. who would tell you three different things. Mm-hmm. And that's just kind of how it is. Now with me, it got to be about 24 hours before he committed. All South Carolina sources were going for our South Carolina-affiliated sources, people around Jordan at Hammond that I would talk to. They went from saying they didn't know to saying they believe in South Carolina almost universally. So I put a prediction in probably the night before and said, well, you know, I'm having a hard time buying it because I'm hearing all this other stuff, but I'm going to have to go with universally what these people are telling me. And at this point, those same people, now they're all kind of Columbia oriented, but heck, that's where the kid's from. They're saying the same thing. They're not worried. They're probably going to get it. But one thing I've learned in recruiting these days is that there's never anything that's 100%. And, you know, you always have to leave the door open. I remember when I was young and in this business, class of 2007, a colleague of mine made a prediction for a kid, 100% to a school. And the next day he's going to cover the press conference. He calls, he's like, he's going somewhere else. And, you know, that's the kind of thing that you have to keep in mind with this. And with the transfer portal these days, even when they sign, not really 100%. You know, so you got to kind of be careful with all this.
You most certainly do. I've classified Jordan Burch as a must-get for Will Muschamp. Do you agree with that assessment?
I don't think there's any such thing as a must-get, but I will say this. You know, Will Muschamp and his program had zero momentum. You know, and momentum's important. Off-season optics and things like that in college football are important because, you know, you look at the sport, you look at how you get talent. A lot of that's perception. You look at how the playoffs picked. You know, you bet perception feeds into that, you know, as far as, you know, a subjective playoff, bowl selection, all that stuff. You know, the polls, they're all subjective. So unlike any other team sport where you basically just decide it on the field and it's a kind of a fair pool of talent to get from and all that, it's, you know, it matters. Said no momentum. The Mike Bobo hire, I would describe it as solid. You know, it's nothing that's going to, you know, lead you to believe that, you know, based on things right now that all of a sudden the Gamecocks are going to, you know, have a great offense and that Will Muschamp is going to kind of, you know, head in another direction and beyond like what his coaching career has been. But they hired Mike Bobo. They reshuffled the staff. They held on to all their commits, including Marshawn Lloyd, who's a potentially special running back.
Yes.
And so, you know, the icing on that cake was, and they got Jordan Burch. Now, you take the icing off the cake, you still have a cake. But that the icing is going to come off the cake, and you know, is it a must get from the standpoint of he's going to help them win more games next year? No, he probably could, but I don't think we're not talking about Jadeveon Clowney. But you know, and arguably, had they lost Lloyd, that impacts the bottom line next year more than anything.
JC, I would argue that the icing makes the cake. Sincerely, the kid who stuck his whole hand in the tub of icing and ate it as an 8-year-old.
Yeah, see, some people are icing people, and I get it. You know, but you know, so that's the thing. And but it's from a perception side of thing, it's like you have some positive momentum. You know, that would mean the second straight year you signed basically all the top players from South Carolina.
Yep.
You know, you didn't let guys get out of state. You cannot let I mean, you know, you're going to lose some to Clemson, and occasionally you're going to lose some to Georgia. And this has been going on for a while. Tennessee doesn't come in the state and get players anymore. North Carolina doesn't come in the state and get players anymore. You know, South Carolina and Clemson have shut the borders down for the most part. You cannot let LSU or a Georgia every year, or an Alabama or an Auburn or Notre Dame come in here and get players that you want. Now you're going to lose, you know, some players go to those schools that don't have in-state offers, but you can't do that over a period of time and be successful at South Carolina. Now, it hadn't happened yet, but you lose Jordan Birch, and, you know, but here comes more cracks in the armor, so to speak, and it takes what was an extremely positive thing optics-wise and makes it a negative.
Brian Brazee or Jordan Birch, who's better, your opinion?
I think Brian Brazee is better. Not to say that Jordan Birch could not end up maybe getting drafted higher than him one day, because I think they're both elite. But Brazee, he could be a generational-type guy. And then that term gets thrown around too much these days, generational. But the more I watched him and watched him in the All-Star settings, and watched him show up injured at the All-Star game with a club on his hand, and dominate, and you look at his size, and you look at his quickness and speed, there's nobody that can really hold a candle to him in Clemson's class, which is full of good defensive linemen. Okay? There's Greasy, and then Miles Murphy, whoever else, there's everybody else. Now, they're good, but they're nothing like this kid. He's a freak, and I would say every day and twice on Sunday, just being fair, that, you know, Brian Brazee is better. And he's better right now, and he'll probably be better in the future. But Jordan Birch has a very high ceiling as well. You know with Brazee, I think this is the thing, Mark. I think he's going to come in and start next year, and he's going to be a holy terror for 3 years and go to the NFL. Jordan Birch is going to have to develop more. So his runway is longer, you know, in terms of reaching his ceiling. But it's going to be hard to catch Brazee if you're just looking at a head-to-head competition, just because Brian is just so much more developed and there right now.
J.C. Sherbert, owner, founder, The Big Spur, part of the 24/7 Sports Network. Insight you will get nowhere else. J.C., great to catch up with you. It's been a minute, and hope you and yours have a fantastic 2020. Thanks for the time today, man.
Hey, thanks, Mark. Be good, man.
All right, you too. J.C. Sherbert, pleased to be joined by him. All right, coming up next, abbreviated show today slightly. We're off the air at 6:30 to get you set for Clemson against Syracuse. Must-win game for the Clemson Tigers as they attempt to make something of a postseason from their regular season. All right, but coming up next, we'll put a bow on this show and give you an incredibly moving best thing we heard today right here on Offsides with Mark Ryan, ESPN Upstate. So I am going to share a story with you, and the challenge here is to read this with dry eyes. My eyes are watering anyway because I have a sinus infection right now. But try to read this with dry eyes. This is from Kristen O'Connor Hecht, married to Tom Hecht, and they share a story about Kobe Bryant. Here we go. So I have a story. When we lived in Phoenix, frequently my and Tom's paths would cross in our work. A pediatric cardiologist I worked with asked me if Tom could get an autograph something from the Lakers for a 5-year-old dying patient who was named Kobe. He was from one of the reservations in Arizona where basketball is life. I called Tom at the Phoenix Suns making this request, believing that there would be virtually no way this would happen. The Lakers were coming to play the Suns later in the week. A day later, Tom called me and said, he'll do it. I was thrilled and thought I'd bring the ball or whatever it was to work. Tom said, no, he read your story and he wants to come and meet the little boy. I was floored. So the next day, with the support of the Colangelo family, a limousine brought Kobe Bryant to my office. Under a cloak of secrecy, neither security nor PR people were informed of it. I got in a little trouble for that, but it was worth it. Sounds like something I would do. The three of us scrambled up a back staircase to this little boy's room in cardiac ICU. For the better part of an hour, they played basketball. passing it back and forth with little Kobe laughing, his sweet mama smiling and laughing. Several autographed items were left and many photos were taken. The machines keeping him alive were dinging, whirring, and alarming, and his doc was just grinning from ear to ear as Tom and I stood nervously watching this unbelievable scene unfold before us. As we got back in the limo, Kobe turned to me and said, "Kristen, what can I do to help? Is it a financial thing? Wow. Is it a financial thing because I can take care of that?" It wasn't. The little boy had a heart defect and was too ill for a transplant. I was floored. I was floored not only by his sincerity and offer of generosity, but the kindness and warmth he displayed. Little Kobe passed away the following week. About 3 weeks later, I got a letter from little Kobe's mom describing the power in those moments. She said those were the most joyful moments of his entire life. The photos were the only photos she had of him smiling. According to Kobe's PR people, he did this everywhere. And the deal is, he has a deal, Lonzo. No PR. He does it in a cloud of secrecy. No PR. He'll do it, doesn't want any PR, doesn't want any attention, doesn't want any limelight. That's the deal. From that day on, he has been my hero. And when people would tell me they didn't like him, I would say, "Let me tell you a story. May God shine eternal light upon your soul, Kobe." Most touching thing about that to me, Lonzo, is that he won't do it if there's PR. You know, like he almost wants the Black Mamba thing. And you see, I'm having a hard time talking about him in the past tense. I said once. He wants the Black Mamba thing, and he wants the villain. He wants to be the villain in sports, and he just wants no attention from that. He just wants to do it, cloak of secrecy, get in, get out, and help the kid any way he can. Can you believe he said, "If it's a monetary thing, I can take care of it. What's the story? What's going on here? How do we fix this? What do you do?" You know, and it just goes to show you that we, you know, as a people, we all want to classify one another as good or bad people, right? Kobe's a bad person because he cheated on his wife. That's something I would never do. I've never cheated in my life. I don't know if Kobe was guilty of more than that. We never will, right? We know there's a civil agreement there. We never will. But what goes without saying is that as far as we know, Kobe Bryant was an unbelievable father who was absolutely obsessed with his daughter Gigi's affection and obsession with basketball, and fed into and was there for her and gave her the best tutelage and coaching any kid could ever have. We also know that he was doing great things in his life off the basketball court, great things for the WNBA, great things for MLS, had the Mamba Academy where he helped sick kids. And then this thing, man. Folks, we're all shades of gray, every single one of us. Every single one of us has good attributes, has bad attributes, and I feel like we should acknowledge that. You know what I mean? There's no such thing as blanket good people and bad people. Those of us who care, those of us with a good moral compass, do the best we can, right? We do the best we can. I cursed at Lonzo on Friday. Lonzo, I'm sorry about that. And I'm not, you know, I'm not immune to making mistakes and popping off and, you know, doing some things sometimes that I shouldn't do. But at the end of the day, you know, I love my family. I love my friends. I love God. And I want to do right by them all. And I want to be remembered as somebody that was helpful and, you know, somebody that people liked and somebody that had a big heart. And it's great that these stories about Kobe Bryant are now coming out posthumously, because it shows a much softer side of the man, the myth, the legend than any of us really knew existed. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're getting you set for Clemson basketball. Clemson against Syracuse. Can the Tigers turn this ship around and make a run at the NCAA tournament? You can't lose tonight and say you have a hope for that. Lost to Louisville, beat Wake Forest. They get Wake Forest after this one. Can Clemson get it done tonight in a absolutely positively must-win game? Enjoy it, ladies and gentlemen, and thanks so much for listening to Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate.